RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Presses. That's it. Stop the presses, stop the money presses, and definitely stop the news presses at the mass media cartel. Stop those presses. Either do it right or don't do it at all. Now, that'll be a major theme today here on this show. What I decided to do, and this will be done once in a while, to hearken back to interesting times and interesting personalities in history. What it is today is a look at the speeches of Father Charles E. Coughlin, the great radio priest. Now, this radio priest did the show called The Golden Hour of the Little Flower right out of Royal Oak, Michigan, basically a suburb of Detroit. And his heyday was from the late 1920s through the early 1940s. And in that time, he went from giving mostly theological Catholic sermons, homilies as they're known, that were beyond the pale. They were much better than the average homily just by themselves, even when he stuck to biblical and theological things purely. But little by little, item by item, he brought in the money changers, the great debt merchants, as he called them, and he didn't mean great in a good way. And what you'll hear today is in the first half of the hour, So This Is Democracy by Father Coughlin during that period. And then during the second half of today's hour-long show, you'll hear So This Is Democracy, Part 2. There are actually Part 3 to So This Is Democracy, one of his finest ever verbal essays, audio essays on the debt merchants and the way the governments collude with their private masters, the behind-the-scenes manipulators, to promulgate war, perpetual war, in fact. And no one could quite say it like Father Coughlin. Try though we might, those of us on alternative radio, we of course bring up many subjects that take a lot of courage to bring up, even in our own milieu sometimes. And we're certainly battling the dark forces of the mass media cartel and their pernicious, never-ending lies. But try though we might, whether it's Alex Jones, he thinks he has the top set of pipes, or whatever it might be, whoever it might be, Father Coughlin was like no other, and you'll see that here in just a few minutes when we play the first part of his speech, So This Is Democracy. Interestingly enough, this fine essay of his finest, I believe, was exactly 80 years ago. It was in the spring of 1939 when he released this great three-part essay. Now, to preface the first part of that great essay on the 80th anniversary, I want to read from a 1936 article that Father Coughlin wrote right around the time that he parted ways with the Roosevelt administration. At first, Father Coughlin believed that the New Deal would fulfill at least some aspects of the Catholic version of social justice, not to be confused with the leftist version of social justice. They're far different. And this is right as he's parting ways with FDR over the New Deal. And I'm going to read some parts of this. No man in modern times received such plaudits from the poor as did Franklin Roosevelt when he promised to drive the money changers from the temple. The money changers who had clipped the coins of wages, who had manufactured spurious money, and who had brought proud America to her knees. March 4th, 1933, I shall never forget the inaugural address which seemed to re-echo the very words employed by Christ himself as he actually drove the money changers from the temple. The thrill that was mine was yours at the time. Through dim clouds of the Depression, this man, Roosevelt, was, as it were, a new savior of his people. Oh, just a little longer shall there be needless poverty. Just another year shall there be naked backs. Just another moment shall there be dark thoughts of revolution. Never again, we thought, will the chains of economic poverty bite into the hearts of simple folks as they did in the past days of the old deal. Such were our hopes in the springtime of 1933. My friends, what we have witnessed as the finger of time turned the pages of the calendar, what have we witnessed? 1933 and the National Recovery Act, which multiplied profits for the monopolists. 1934 and the Agricultural Adjustment Act, which raised the price of foodstuffs by throwing back God's best gifts into his face, capital H-I-S, his face. And then in 1935, in the Banking Act, which rewarded the exploiters of the poor, that being the Federal Reserve bankers and their associates, by handing over to them the temple from which they had been cast. And then in 1936, when our disillusionment is complete, we pause to take the inventory of our predicament now. You citizens have shackled about your limbs a tax bill of $35 billion, most of which was created by a flourish of a fountain pen, the banker's fountain pen. Your erstwhile savior, FDR, whose golden promises ring upon the counter of performance with the cheapness of tin, bargained with the money changers that with 70 billion laboring hours in the ditch or in the factory or behind the plow, you and your children shall repay the debt which was created with a drop of ink in less than 10 seconds. This is the way that Father Coughlin wrote, ladies and gentlemen. It's unmistakable and it's irreplaceable. Anyway, continuing to read from this essay, and then we'll play part one of So This Is Democracy. Just a couple more paragraphs here to set the tone. Continuing, is that driving the money changers out of the temple? Every crumb you eat, every stitch of clothing you wear, every menial purchase which you make is weighted down with an unseen tax as you work and slave for the debt merchants of America. But the $55 billion of debt bonds held mostly by the debt merchants and the well-circumstanced of this country have been ably safeguarded from taxation by this peerless leader, FDR, who sham battles his way along the avenue of popularity with his smile for the poor and his blindness for their plight. Is that driving the money changers from the temple? Now, with that, ladies and gentlemen, to sort of set the stage here, let us now play the first part of the three-part So This Is Democracy. We're only playing two parts today, but here's part number one. Just give it a moment. It's an older radio broadcast, so forgive the audio lack of quality somewhat. I believe his speech and his style makes up for it. So here's part number one.
Good afternoon, my friend. I ask your indulgence as once again I engage your attention upon the gruesome subject of war. Indeed, it is with great reluctance that I prolong this discussion. Nevertheless, a press of circumstances makes it inevitable. During the course of this address, it will be my privilege to disclose information which seldom levels down through ordinary channels to the general public. It is my duty as your spokesman to present it to you in this emergency, to the end that it will guide you in your decisions and stimulate you in your actions. We Americans have been victimized by some invisible forces which are determined to embroil us in war. Have these same forces employed their power, prestige, wealth, and influence in behalf of peace and prosperity to the same extent? I am confident that our 12 million unemployed would be working at profitable wages, and that our 22 million Dolesters would enjoy economic freedom. I do not remember in my lifetime when public officials and newspapers expended so much effort in propagandizing for war and thereby serving, either wittingly or unwittingly, the hidden hand of destruction. Nor do I recollect when so little publicity has been given for the removal of the causes of our domestic depression. Who wants war? The millions of little children attending our schools, the neglected youth of our nation who are searching in vain for profitable jobs and despairing of establishing a home of their own, the fathers and mothers whose chief concern always has been life and never death, the exploited masses of labor, victimized by prolific promises of politicians and deceived so frequently by unsound labor leaders. Who wants war? The patient agricultural class whose farms have been confiscated and whose productive acres have been made barren by an insane program of destruction? Who wants war? The small businessmen, industrialists, and homeowners who are almost taxed out of existence as they bear the burdens of the last war? Oh, elsewhere, let us seek an answer to our question when more than 95% of our population abhors the very sound of that word, war. And this is democracy. When 95% of our fellow citizens have their minds tortured, their emotions aroused, their passions agitated by no more than 5% of internationalistic warmongers and their publicity agents, whose main concern is not assisting America back to prosperity, but to achieve the destruction of the so-called totalitarian state, to perpetuate the peace treaty of Versailles, long since repudiated by the United States Senate. If we are a democratic people, shall we permit ourselves to be used like putty in the hands of those responsible for the half-truths, the warmongering which appear in our press? When the catchphrases unjust aggressors was employed to stir up your righteous wrath against Germany and Italy, were you conscious of having read the whole truth about unjust aggression? How many newspapers printed the story of Great Britain's seizure of Nigeria in 1886? Of Somaliland in 1887, of British East Africa in 1888, of Rhodesia in 1889, of British Central Africa in 1893, of Uganda in 1896, and of South Africa in 1898, seizures totaling more than 900,000 square miles, seizures which were instigated and conducted more ruthlessly than those accredited to Italy and Germany during the past 2 years? Who were responsible for this questionable silence over that period? Not the people resident in England, not the people of the United States, but the scheming internationalists, descendants of the father of lies. Did they inform you that France, the other great democracy, captured Tunis in 1878, Annan and Tonkin from China, and Laos from Siam in 1887? Did they refer to the subjugation of Madagascar in 1896, and to the unjust aggressions committed against Djibouti, Dahomey, and Morocco at a later date, aggressions which netted the French Empire more than 670,000 square miles? Certainly they did not, because they were more interested in regimenting the sentiment and the youth of America to fight a war for the preservation of their gold control, of their status quo over the peoples of the earth. By reminding you of these lurid historical facts, which besmirch the pages of modern history, I am in no way condoning the conduct of the modern dictators, but I am reminding you that the same policy of seizure and exploitation is dominant in the world today as it was yesterday. The same catchwords are being used to deceive the common people. The same propaganda is issued by those who dominate both governments and nations, the hidden hand of the internationalists. Who wants America to play even a remote part in the impending European clash, which appears to be inevitable? Ask the leaders of the League for Peace and Democracy. Ask the munition makers. Ask the internationalists who shuttle gold back and forth across the Atlantic. Ask the Jews and Gentiles who refuse to oppose communism as they do Nazism. Ask the well-known private banking houses which bought and paid for the Russo-Japanese War, the same banking houses which arranged for American credit to finance the World War, always at a profit for themselves. Oh, possibly they could tell you. They who escaped the horrors of the trenches, the withering fire of the machine gun, and the discomforts of the concentration camp. But do not ask the members of the American Legion who are your neighbors. Do not inquire of the broken-hearted Gold Star mothers whose names have been exploited. And do not expect an answer from the disillusioned victims who languish in our hospitals, or their buddies whose bodies long since have rotted on foreign soil. This campaign to embroil America in a world war was carefully planned, weighed, and timed for this opportune moment. Now that democracy seemingly has failed in America because it was irreverently wedded to international capitalism, the schemers plan to destroy our form of government, to substitute for it an absolute dictatorship, by pleading with you ill-informed people to save democracy. Oh, but their single purpose is to perpetuate international capitalism. That is a serious statement. Nevertheless, I can substantiate it with the following facts which cannot be gainsaid. Therefore, permit me to answer the first question, who wants war? And the second question, why do they want war? By unveiling for you certain government plans which have been kept in secrecy, more or less, since 1922. There exists...
your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Stop the Presses here on the 11th of February, 2019. And in the first half of today's show, we heard the great Father Charles Coughlin in the first part of his immortal speech, So This Is Democracy. In the second half of today's show, we'll be playing part two. Another time we'll do part three because it requires a little bit of analysis as well. But as I managed to get in a little bit before that last break and the music was coming up a little quickly, it's really hard to surpass or to replace, of course, the style as well as the content of this great priest. And of course, he's a pre-Vatican II priest, and this really shows, in my opinion, what Vatican II has done to Catholicism. This was not unheard of, people like him in his day, although he stood above the pack. But Pope Pius XI and others were much more outspoken about the money changers and the debt merchants, as was the great Father Dennis Fahey of Ireland. And to finish a little bit of the essay I was reading from Father Coughlin that he wrote in 1936, again on this 80th anniversary of that great speech, So This Is Democracy, The rest of this essay says, "It is not pleasant for me who coined the phrase Roosevelt or ruin, a phrase fashioned upon promises, to voice such passionate words against FDR." Again, Father Coughlin was now parting ways with FDR with this essay in 1936. But he continued, "But I am constrained to admit that Roosevelt or ruin is the order of the day because the money changers have not been driven from the temple, as FDR promised. Alas, the temple still remains the private property of the money changers. And I'll add my own comment, our money system is the private property of the money changers. The golden key has been handed over to them for safekeeping. The key, which is now fashioned in the shape of a double cross." That really is some trenchant words from Father Coughlin, the double cross, no doubt about it. And as we know, we do have that privately owned money system, this usurious system. And I'll talk more about it a little bit in today's show, as will Father Coughlin, alluding to it in the second half when we play the other half of that speech, or the second part of that speech. But if you go back on the archive of RBN, you'll also see Wallace Clink back in December talking about social credit economics, not socialism, social credit economics, aka economic democracy, something that Father Coughlin only touched on peripherally. He understood a lot of the problems, but not the solution that Wallace Clink, who's from Alberta, Canada, told me about on my show back in December. You'll find that in mid-December, I believe it was, on the archive, as this show, Stop the Press, has started, and we've been going now with this show about 3 months. Now, other announcements before we get to the bottom of the hour. I'm expecting, hopefully, as things get worked out for arrangements, I'm expecting Patrick Henningsen of 21st Century Wire to be on the show. I'm hoping this Wednesday, maybe by this Friday at the latest, to talk about the Integrity Initiative. And that is a deceptive propagandistic program hatched by the Institute for Statecraft in the United Kingdom. And it's a way that the think tanks, particularly the Statecraft Institute and its Integrity Initiative Project, it's a way that the think tanks are directly attacking free speech and alternative media, alternative voices, the voices of dissent, you name it. And so you're going to want to hear more about it. If you go to 21stCenturyWire.com, not only will you see a new posting of mine, which I talked about recently on this show, and that's the Chatham House Royal Institute of International Affairs wanting these think tanks to unite more than ever before, unless they lose their grip on the neoliberal world order that they've had since the days of even before World War I, and certainly starting in World War I when these think tanks really took off. And so that article is posted there. Again, 21stCenturyWire.com. You'll see think tanks unite lest they lose their neoliberal world order. But this particular think tank, the Institute for Statecraft, and the particular program, the Integrity Initiative, are particularly troubling. And again, that's where they're teaming up with Facebook and NATO in direct and indirect ways to find all the techniques they can to diminish the ratings of alternative media in Google searches and other searches, and to do everything they can to counter the narrative of the alternative media. And of course, the silver lining on that, the good news, is that this shows they're scared. This shows they're nervous. Not only is Chatham House in the UK worried about losing its grip on the general world order, but the Integrity Initiative means they're worried about losing their grip on the narrative, the news narrative specifically. Now, we'll be back with more after these messages here on Stop the Presses. Watch, look over your shoulder. This one is strictly for you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And returning to Stop the Presses here on the 11th of February, 2019, your host, Mark Anderson. And I'm continuing my retrospective today for the great Reverend Charles E. Coughlin, a Canadian-born priest who worked in Kalamazoo, Michigan, near where I came from, for a short time in the 1920s, and actually spent a small amount of time in Waco, Texas, believe it or not, before finally settling at the Church of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, Michigan, which was a very small parish. The town didn't even have a post office yet when he first got there. But he soon attracted so many people to the faith at that particular parish and across the country that it was truly amazing. And the powers that be did not like it a bit. He was allowed to broadcast on the CBS radio network, but he had to pay for it $10,000 a month. And that was in the 1930s. Think of that. At any rate, I'm going to do some reading here. And then we're going to play the second segment very, very shortly of So This Is Democracy, the great essay, 80 years old this year, that essay by Charles E. Coughlin. And I'm going to read a little bit about something that is 100 years old this year, and that's the Treaty of Versailles coming out of World War I, the so-called peace treaty, which actually laid the groundwork, as many of us know, for World War II, especially those onerous reparations on Germany. Now, I could go on here, but I'm going to read some select segments briefly, and then we'll get on to part two of that great essay. This evening, it is my privilege, Father Coughlin wrote in one of his books here that I have, to invite you to consider a new aspect of both national and international depression, an aspect which has more to do with our national depression and unemployment than has had any other human cause. It dates back to the year 1919. He wrote this book around 1930 or so. The scene is the Hall of Mirrors at Versailles, France. The actors are the representatives of the nations of the world. Germany and Austria are the principal villains, we're told. Clemenceau and his associates wield the sword of so-called justice. The plot, which is fresh in their memories and in their experiences, is laid in war-torn Europe. Visualize it if you can. Scarred and torn and wrecked, scarcely nothing left but the gaunt corpses of crops and of homes and factories. As you pass in panoramic view over the fields of windblown poppies or down the white aisles of ghostly crosses, your mind is numbed when confronted with the ruin of the Great War, upon whose altars so many millions of human lives had been offered up, for what foolish purpose no man quite knows. Yet no human beings comprehend those facts so well as do those who sit in judgment in this Hall of Mirrors. Of one thing they are certain, they all know Europe must begin this new post-war period in dire poverty and burdened with incalculable debts. They all know that reserve capital is a thing of the past, and more than that, they are not forgetful that you cannot bleed blood out of a barren stone. So these plenipotentiaries convene to carry on their so-called negotiations. Days and weeks of discussion are spent. New colonies and territories by the stroke of the pen are contributed to England. New divisions of Europe are parceled out irrespective either of national or lingual boundaries. And to climax the tragedy of this so-called peace treaty of Versailles, where God's name was not permitted to be mentioned, where Christ's charity and forgiveness were regarded as impractical, a fine of $33 billion to be paid within 37 years is imposed upon an enemy with a hope of crushing her financially, despite the fact that her purse is empty and that her heart conceives no honest notion of endeavoring to meet the impossible demands of this Treaty of Versailles. And that's what Father Coughlin wrote in this book I have, Father Coughlin's Radio Sermons Complete. That was around the early 1930s. And now we'll play part two, as much of it as we can, part two of So This Is Democracy, remembering that what I just read was Father Coughlin's insights coming out of World War One, the Treaty of Versailles, and these speeches, the three-part So This Is Democracy, is based on the late 1930s, exactly 80 years ago, back in 1939, going into the early days of World War II, about 2 years before Pearl Harbor. So here we are with part two.
In Washington at this moment, an industrial mobilization plan. It is the government's plan which forewarns us what will happen in these United States the moment an emergency or a war eventuates. It proposes to take over not only all material resources, iron, coal, oil, and cotton, but the control of all industry, trade, and commerce. Every working man will become an employee of the government. Already the nation has been divided into 12 districts with regional headquarters of the War Department to be located in each. Already the operation of 20,000 American factories has been charted. Already more than 12,000 American industrial plants have been assigned to various Army supply branches. And these industrial plants, through their executives, have signed an accepted schedule of production. Of these things, the majority of you in this audience has not been informed. The government industrial mobilization plan provides for several administrations: war, labor, trade, financial, price control. These statements, my friends, are no figments of fancy. True, they have not been disclosed to you American people,
although they are absolute facts, which those who preach to you of the virtues of democracy already have conceived in order to destroy the last vestige of democracy. Moreover, this present administration at Washington has arranged to conscript both capital and labor, big business and little business. It proposes to license every activity from a munition plant to a confectionery store, to nationalize all means of communication, the press, the radio, to control all newspapers and public speakers. In its plan, already written and awaiting execution, although you don't know it, the only liberty left to the individual will be freedom to think, but no freedom to express his thoughts. My friends, if these statements which I have just made about the present administration were not true, statements, however, which are supported by the congressional record, this would be my last appearance before a microphone. Quoting the Honorable Mr. Schaefer of Michigan and the congressional record of April 24, 1939, we read quotations. The industrial mobilization plan recognizes only two classes of citizens, those with the armed forces, and those at home who must provide for the maintenance of the armed forces. Nor will the women of these United States be exempted from this military tyranny planned at Washington and conceived by those who dominate the New Deal, the Hidden Hand. Under the title, Woman Wage Earners Division, of this government plan, we read the following startling statement, quotations. In normal times, there are approximately 10 million women and children over 16 years of age employed in industry, commerce, and the professions. The specific mission of this division is to divert the greatest possible number of these women to munitions and essential civilian industries, unquote the document. My friends, will that sentence which I have just read arouse you ladies to action? If war comes, oh, let every woman in this audience recognize that she and her sister will be herded about like cattle at the discretion of the War Labor Administrator. The New Deal plan does not omit children from its dictatorial grasp. One paragraph of this hidden document reads as follows, quotations. While the employment of children under the age of 16 years in industry or agriculture will be avoided wherever possible, it must be recognized from the beginning that the nature of the emergency may require such employment in its later stages. And you, good people, are apathetic, and some of you will say this is imagination. You innocent Americans are not willing now, before war eventuates and before a neutrality act is passed, you are not willing to bestir yourselves to keep America for Americans and to preserve George Washington's policy of no foreign entanglements. My friends, I am disclosing to you a document of which you are ignorant, a plan already prepared for your enslavement under the title of democracy. What is your reaction? If in the face of the paragraphs which I have read for you, you cannot envision what is in store for you as a result of your apathy, there's no hope left for you. Can you not foresee the passing of democracy under the false front of preserving democracy? Can you not see the rise of a ruthless dictator who is a servant of the gold hoarders and a puppet of the invisible forces? We'll herd the women of America. We'll separate mothers from their children and compel them even to a greater degree than they were compelled in Russia to serve in munition factories. Can you not envision the closing down of schools when children, even under 16 years of age, will be forced to become cogs in a machine for murder? Do not accuse me of exaggeration. Oh, yes, pious words will be spoken from executives denying these statements. But those pious words cannot destroy the existence of this New Deal plan. In addition, I quote the congressional record again, in addition to the power to commandeer lives as well as all resources and supplies, bills have been introduced in Congress during the last few years which propose to give the president not only absolute control of our entire national economy, but the unlimited access to the federal treasury. Recently, Congressman Schaefer of Michigan said, "Day and night, American ears are dinned with demands that we join the democracies in a holy crusade against the dictatorships. Day and night, they tell us that we cannot have peace unless we are willing to police the world. Or they'd have us believe that we cannot be prosperous people until we become murderous people. In the name of humanity, they chant a hymn of hate. As champions of man's highest ideals, they appeal to his basest passions. They call for peace, but they sow the seeds of war." Although the president and many of his unelected appointees speak with a finality about our policing the world and righting all things, are you American people willing to concede that you have abandoned your right of petitioning your senators to pass a neutrality bill that will safeguard our policy of no foreign entanglement? Yes. May Day processions will be held by the communists who hate your Christianity and your Americanism, the same communists, the same League for Peace and Democracy, whose only loyalty in the Spanish Civil War was to Satan and Sovietism. And what have you been doing to counteract these processions, these demonstrations, this warmongering? Have you been contributing to offset this offense of Bolshevik destruction? My fellow Americans, Bolshevism is international. It is anti-God and anti-Christ. We have permitted it to take the offensive here as it did in Spain and elsewhere.
Excuse the slight technical difficulty there. So that was part two of So This Is Democracy by Father Charles Coughlin, the great radio priest from yesteryear. He made his heyday in the 1930s particularly. And again, So This Is Democracy, a great three-part essay, perhaps his best audio essay, was broadcast in the spring of 1939, exactly 80 years ago this spring. We also spoke a little bit earlier, I did, about the Treaty of Versailles, as he alluded to, though most of his speech here was about the pre-World War II days, just on the footsteps of World War II. But I spoke a little about the Treaty of Versailles on the 100th anniversary of that destructive treaty, named a peace treaty, that set the stage and planted the seeds for war, World War II, that is, as Father Coughlin so eloquently put it. And so, this provides a very interesting retrospective. What I find particularly interesting is much of what he says, minus a few specific names and places, applies today. We could very well call for a neutrality bill right now. But what's particularly different now and we're getting ready for a break here, is that now we're on a perpetual war footing. Wars are no longer declared, so there's no longer this buildup. It's just the authorization to use military force whenever and wherever we want, regardless of who's in the White House. So we'll be back with some parting comments right after these messages.
If your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of it.
Justice to the left of you. Justice to the right.
Casting Network. And today's been a special show remembering the great Father Coughlin. Certainly, when was the last time you heard any pastor from any denomination talk like that, ladies and gentlemen? It shows you what we've lost in terms of the pulpit and what happens when the pulpit is silenced, which has long been the problem in this country. It's not just the mass media cartel and the universities and the faulty, extremely faulty educational system. It's much more. On a brighter note, I like to bring up new developments, updates especially for people that have been on my show. Now, recently, I had Dr. Laura Presley on here talking about her appellate court victory. Let me get this straight. Well, her victory in securing from Harris County, Texas, the printouts, the voting logs, which show the sequential activity of what goes on the counting computers, the great computer systems, the centralized computer systems that are used to count the vote when each electronic cartridge is brought from each individual voting machine from each precinct. All those are taken to one place, the central counting and tabulating center in each county in this country. We have about 98% of our counties being counted, votes being counted with electronic voting machines. Well, she got the logs from Harris County, the third most populous voting county in the entire United States after New York City and Los Angeles. And that was a big victory that we announced recently on this show. But another one just came up. She got a Texas Supreme Court ruling that ruled that the lower court, the appeals court, abused its discretion, and the Supreme Court of Texas validated Laura Presley's claim through her organization, True Texas Elections LLC. They validated that her claim that corrupt memory cards were used in her Austin City Council 2014 election that she ran in. So again, not only did the Supreme Court rule that the lower court abused its discretion, they also ruled that what Laura Presley said was valid, that corrupt memory cards were used, and that's another major development. And a third thing is that the Supreme Court validated Laura's assertion that the Texas Secretary of State, in giving waivers for results tapes not to be printed, had merit. In other words, the Texas Secretary of State should not have given waivers to Texas election officials, which allowed them to neglect printing these results tapes, these paper printouts from the electronic voting system. So Laura got another big victory beyond what was announced on my show when she got the election logs from Harris County, Texas. And this in the Supreme Court overturning the appellate court's ruling. Now they rule that in her Austin City Council election, as noted, that she had merit in three essential areas, especially in the two, the memory cards being corrupted and that they had been used in the election, and allowing the Secretary of State so much discretion where they did not enforce the required printing of those tapes. So hats off to Laura. I wanted to end today's show here on the 11th of February with some positive news. I'll have more on that in articles posted at thetruthhound.com, my main blog. And we'll see you next time here on Stop the Presses.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855.
You're listening to the